Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international Johnny Beattie and former France hooker Benjamin Kayser. And we're going to be looking ahead to this season's French-dominated European finals shortly, as well as discussing European finals generally, what those games are like to play in. You've got experience, Benji, we'll come to that in a minute. But it feels like it's ages since we last spoke. So good week, Benji. Have you been to the pub yet? Been doing anything indoors?
Well, to be honest, I don't need a pub or a restaurant to get smashed. So I
just got your own wine.
I just drink my wine at home. No, I haven't yet. But a really busy week last week. I went back to Oxford for a little bit and stuff, which was great. But it was just a mental week. And then this week, I do some consultancy work on the side. And finally, we're having face-to-face conversations, which is an absolute game changer. So all those meetings are now opening up and picking up, and it gets life to relative normality. But obviously, if I can hit a restaurant and stuff, it'll be lovely. And I think Friday, we're going to a pub with the Strettles, you know, with David Strettle and stuff. He lives literally 15 minutes away from my house. So it'll be a beautiful way to end, you know, the busy business week and then start that weekend of rugby, which is going to be absolutely outstanding, given finally people back.
So no pub, some meetings, any soft play with the kids yet, Benji, anything like that? Any hell?
Soft play? I haven't. No, to be honest, we finally had our neighbors over, but no, we met poor people. We met the another family who's absolutely lovely. I think he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be my best mate for the next 10 years. And whose daughter is in the class of my daughter. And we went to their house. Absolutely lovely family. And they've got a zip wire. They've got like a playing field with, like, you can play, you know, AstroTurf, where you can play tennis and football and all that stuff. I'm like, listen, this is the Club Med for me. So forget about the what do you say, soft play? Forget about that. We're just going to go to their house absolutely every time that we can.
Your new rich mate. You're going to his house to play in the Flying Fox. I love it.
Oh, mate. Absolutely lovely family. And on top of that, he likes drinking. So I was like, oh, we're going to be mates.
Friends. And Johnny, how's things with you?
Mate, it's still quite quiet. Last time we spoke, I've been battling in the garden. So I've been removing bamboo, digging trenches, lifting up my deck. Basically just destroying everything, but trying to earn brownie points with the missus before the in-laws arrive. But the good news is that terraces and decks are open in France from Thursday. So we can actually go to a restaurant, still sat outside, not inside, but we can sit outside and have a beer or a glass of wine with mates from Thursday. So looking forward to something this weekend. Oh, it would just make such a difference just to get out, not have to cook, weirdly, but like having 18 months of cooking everything yourself. Because where we are, there aren't that many takeaways either. There's no Uber Eats, there's nothing fancy, we don't have rich mates, they've probably got amazing stuff, so no, it's just been low key. So looking forward to getting out, hopefully a little meal or something at the beach or on a deck this weekend and a beer. And Tim, you called me from a soft play.
Well, that's why I asked. I just wanted someone to share my pain, but no.
Steer clear.
You always have that look of despair of those 19 year olds who get the first job in a soft play, and it's like all life has left their heart. Oh, their soul has left their bodies, and Dream. They're just thinking, get me out of here. You know, it's exactly that, because that is a proper mayhem. That will test your nerves, like proper.
What kind of parent are you two? Are you the parent that gets dragged around and you're like in the jungle gym, you're going through the ball pit? Are you the parent that sits on your phone?
Two girls, mate. I'm the one like getting stuck in the tunnel up there in the soft play and
hands and knees,
breaking my back in two.
I was instinctively going to reply bad before you even started, but no, I was there with a coffee And speaking of the grind, last week we chatted about the battle for the top six in the top 14. And there's been a load of games since then, midweek, weekend. So how's it all panning out?
I reckon it's going to be even tougher than I expected. I'm actually quite scared for my mates of Clermont. So
yeah,
I watched the game. I did a bit of work for the game on the Clermont-Toulon game on Saturday. Great game. They properly went at each other, both teams. And Clermont really came out on top. We can speak for 2 seconds about the performance of Morgan Parra. Whenever the shit hits the fan, whenever it gets really, really tough, he's always the one to step up. Clermont getting overexcited. And Morgan Parra used to be the captain, right? There's a big thing about over the leadership and the captaincy and all that. Fritz Lee was then captain for a little bit. And now they're trying to promote the youngsters with Arthur Ituria. You know, the big number six.
Yeah, he's good.
But poor thing, I think he got knocked out or he hurt his shoulder. I can't remember. He was sort of in and out of the game. He wasn't really well. And at one point, they've got a penalty. I think they're just like up. They're chasing Toulon by 1 point. And they just go in the corner, get another penalty. So it's the decision to say, when you're 10 meters out, do you go for the corner again to try to get the try? Or do you go for the post? And you can see Fritz and stuff. They all go in, you know, let's just take the line and take the line. And Morgan rocks up and he's the one kicking. So he's the one saying, no, let's take the points. And that's typically him. So it's easy to say, take the points if you're not a kicker. You just have the decision to take. It's a lot harder to take the points and you're all the responsibility of the call and of the delivery and of the outcome is on me. And I love the way that he did it. And he's been delivering. That's where I test players. He is definitely a player of the tough moments. And that's why I always loved to play with him, because the more the more the pressure raised, the more his level rised. He embraced it. He loved it. He lives for those moments. And that was brilliant. So a little bit of an aparte on Morgan Parra, apologies. But the rest is that all those games are super, super tense. Toulon are going to struggle. But Bordeaux have got two games in hand. I didn't even realize it's against Agen and Montpellier. They could be second if they do 5 points at the end. So it's going to be mega, mega tight. I still believe that we've got the right ranking, except that I'm afraid that my mates of Toulon might drop from third to fifth. So they're having an away barrage. But I still don't see Toulon sneaking out, and I still don't see Stade just sneaking. But it's going to be the last game, because I think Stade go to Bayonne for the last game, yeah, which is going to be the relegation battle.
Mate, it was the relegate, but like this now the top six is sort of finding its feet. And also that win for Stade Francais was huge, like against Montpellier, who sent the kids and picked up a red card.
Points.
Exactly. Like Stade Francais could easily sneak into that sixth spot, which we talked about last week. Bordeaux, massive win against Castle, like hard conditions. And Christophe Urios talked after the game. He had a massive rant about how everyone wants everyone to play offloads and there's different ways to play. They get, like, it was a great speech. If you can find it on YouTube and speak French, like, he's great. He's great to listen to. And people constantly poke holes in the way his teams play and they're just pragmatic. Or are they boring? And blah, blah. And he just like, shut up, everyone. Like, there has to be ways.
I thought it was awesome. And honestly, he's one of those coaches that you know him, Johnny. I don't know him personally.
Good guy.
Two more top 14 games, barrage, semi-final. 5 games, you win the trophy and you've done something that Bordeaux has never done, or that the new Bordeaux has never done in sort of their history. They've never qualified for the playoffs. That's just crazy. Something that's unreal. And they were sky high last year, dominating everyone, but they've never qualified. So he's trying to shift that mindset. Let's stop being beautiful. Let's stop being Bordeaux, the beautiful town, and think about the wine and this and that, the experience. Focus on 80 minutes of rugby where we're going to kill everyone. The true champions, they don't need the perfect ref, the perfect sunshine, the perfect fans, the perfect this. They will win any day, any time against anyone. That's that sort of mindset he was giving. But I actually loved it. I really loved it. It was really genuine. It was heartfelt. It was pretty cool. He says something really nice in it. He says, whoever said that I have to play rugby in a certain way, I can decide to play rugby with the team that I've got, with the club that I am, and with the region that I represent. And I think that's a really important point when he says really the region cool. that I represent.
Yeah.
Because, Johnny, you'll know that. Maybe you can tell us more about it. But he is massive on the pride of belonging.
He's all about identity.
He would whine them, not say, oh, we can be as big and as powerful as Toulouse. No. He was probably feeding it. We are the small, humble, hardworking farmers. And that's who we are. Don't ever, you know, deviate from it. And so embrace who you are rather than trying to be something else.
It was really cool. It was all about tapping into the identity of where you were representing? Who are you representing really?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm looking for it.
Me? I don't know. But it all came down to even things like pre-season. So like the very first thing you do in pre-season, which normally would be in any club, normally is a piss up, or you do a bit of team building, something a bit physical, a bit tiring, and then you have a barbecue, which we did. But the very first weeks were, it was almost, what do you call it? You know, when you get like a pen and paper and you have to go around and find different parts of the town and write down and find artifacts or find different information, or you have to go into this shop and engage with this guy and ask for this bit of information. And it was all that. The first week was, I don't know what you call it, not a randonnée, but
sounds like a treasure hunt.
Orienteering? Like almost sort of. Orienteering.
Cours d'orientation.
A cours d'orientation. There you go, orienteering. And that's what you would do with Christophe in your first week, was you'd start to engage and learn about your town. And I thought that was fantastic. I'd never done that before. So you start to learn a little bit about the butcher that is going to be you're buying your meat from on the weekend, like engaging with people, engaging with the rugby public, which in Cass was massive. And don't get me wrong, every town in the south of France is rugby daft. But Christophe was just wonderful at tapping into that. It was, how do you engage with people? How do you start to understand who you're representing? And then that story was slightly turned into the rugby. How are we going to play? How do we engage ourselves physically? Because for him, it's a fight. Like rugby in terms of set plays and set moves, it's not that. It's heart. It's engaging people. It's building people to come together and fight as a team and represent something bigger than yourself and your teammates. And that's what he's doing with Bordeaux. He did it last year where they were terrific as well. But just a really interesting bloke, great orator, as I've said numerous times, fantastic motivator. And look, I love the way, again, as you said, Benji, like, who told me how I have to play rugby? Like rugby purists don't care. It's, we're playing to win, and champions have to learn to win ugly. That's exactly what he said. Bordeaux have finished 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th in previous years, all with the same budgets, one of the biggest budgets in top 14. I am here to win. I'm here to help this team win, and I don't care how.
Great to hear Kane Douglas's thoughts on Christophe Aurier last week as well. They're not quite in the Champions Cup final this weekend after losing to Toulouse in the semi. So we'll get on to talking about that in a minute. But we've got a new sponsor on board, haven't we, Benji?
We do, mate. We do. Listen, the French are known for their joie de vivre, obviously. Their poetry, their wine, but massive about their food. But yeah, we've got something for everyone to cook as a Frenchman. So the Meter is the world's first best wireless smart meat thermometer. My lamb shoulder has never tasted better. I can pretend that I'm like an absolute rock star. I can finally make my password proud.
And Johnny, you're cooking like a Frenchman now, aren't you? Are you using the Meter?
I enjoy a Côte de Bœuf pretty much every weekend, which isn't easy to do. So look, it removes all the faff out of it. When I have French families over, they can maybe judge me for being a British cook, but this sort of passes me off as a French cook. I get it right every weekend now. So no, it's helping me in saving my bacon on my plancha at the weekend.
Absolutely. It takes all the guesswork out of cooking, whether it's in the oven or in the barbecue. And if you want to bring your A game to the table this summer, like Johnny and Benji, you can get your hands on a Meter with 10% off by using the code FrenchPod10 at Meter.com. That's the code FrenchPod and the number 10 at Meter.com. Raise the stakes with Meter and Le French Rugby Podcast.
Hello, I'm Geraint Thomas.
And I'm Tom Fordyce.
And this is your official invite to come and join our brand new cycling club.
Now, good news, it's a podcast too. So you can come and listen to us, try and build this club from scratch. And we'll have a few familiar faces joining us for the ride too. Right, G, time to tell everyone what we've called this club.
Well, we thought long and hard about this. So we came up with a strong, original name that really stands out. The Geraint Thomas Cycling Club.
Yeah, I suppose it's easy to remember at least, isn't it? We will have new episodes for you every single Tuesday.
Come and join us.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's have a look at the European finals now then, and we'll start with your experiences, Benji. Dare I ask? I mean, you've been in a lot of finals. It's not just any other game, is it? How are they going to be feeling to lose in La Rochelle this weekend?
Listen, it's an extraordinary time for them as human beings, as players, as a club. My life dream, I think you win the Brennus for yourself. For me, winning the Champions Cup is about putting that star on your jersey. And that is just absolutely second to none. It just feels like it's not, obviously it's played every year, but it just feels, because everybody knows you don't really, it's almost impossible to be in a position to win it every year. It's not almost impossible, but it's very, very rare. And the teams who win it seem to build some sort of dynasty. And it's a much heavier legacy, I feel, because you're literally putting your club on the map of Europe. And so it's always been an absolute dream of mine. Unfortunately, I broke my teeth on it 5 times, but that's just how it is. Like you said, it took me a while to be proud that I've lost the most finals, because you actually need to get there.
Rare for us mere mortals. 5 finals, Benji. Not many people have done that.
Crazy.
That's what I mean. But I mean, then it took me a long time. It took me a long time because for one, it's not about me. It's the team every single time. And there's different opponents. There's different scenarios. It's not like I was with the same team for the whole time and then we lost it repeatedly. You know what I mean? So I just think it's something, there's something special about it. To lose with 4 stars on the jersey already, it's something that's in them. If you want to be a real Toulouse guy, if Antoine Dupont wants to rise to the level of Jérôme Cazalbou, Fred Michalak, and Thierry Dussautoir, he needs to win Europe. If Romain Tamac and Julien Marchand, well, not Julien, unfortunately, but all the others, you know, if they want to actually really be as big, because that's what people maybe in England don't understand. But I was brought up with Toulouse. I said that to Census the other day, watching VHS cassettes of them winning back to back 4 times. They won the league back to back. And then they won Europe, I think in 95 or 96 for like one of the first things. And then they won it again and again. So you have Biarritz that went up and then went back down. Stade Français were there and then they went back down. Toulouse, if they missed 1 year, they were back the year after. Toulouse winning a Brennus is, well done, mate. You're just part of the gang now. That's it.
Join the club. So, the back of the line.
You know, exactly. Join the line. So it will be beautiful to see a bunch of youngsters trying to really take Toulouse into the next dimension and build their new dynasty, because that's the day. And then La Rochelle in a very, very different mindset, being like, this is icing on the cake for us, but we are very, very hungry and we want to go at it and seize the opportunity that's in front of us before Jono leaves. So it will be a beautiful final. I can't wait to see it. The fact that there's 10,000 fans just already puts a smile on my face. It's not enough, but wow, is it still good to, you know, to see it. No fake crowd noises and at least a bit of, sorry, I can't hear you anymore. That would be beautiful. But it is a very, very, very special moment. And to be honest, good job that Julien Marchand is not playing, because I think if they'd won it and he'd lift it, I could have felt that I was lifting it a little bit with him and it could have caught my emotions.
Mate, I was going to ask you, see, when you, obviously Clermont, massive club, massive budget, you're picked up by that team because you're an outstanding hooker and a great bloke. So they want to have you part of the furniture. Then an understanding that with that team, there comes a certain expectation because they have that budget and they roll out and they expect to compete in the top 14 and the Champions Cup each and every year. But when you get to that level of a final where you've played against a Toulon and the guys are going to play against La Rochelle this weekend, is there a realization that it's almost a 50-50 because there's so much quality in both sides? Like there's not much, we'll get on, we'll analyze the sides this weekend. There's not much between them at all. You've got so much talent and so much quality. And did you kind of get that in your finals as well? Like it's almost like going to a casino and betting red or black. Like you could have won four or five finals easily. In the games that you played in those tight ones, you definitely could have won. So is there a feeling, obviously you have the regrets, but you're there almost with a chip and a chair. You've got the talent, you've got the players, and you know you can do it. Is there a sort of mental approach that you know it could go either way really quickly?
I might come clean on something, and I don't want to get too much into the emotion of things because it could be a bit heavy for me personally, but I have massive regrets on certain finals about not stepping up to the occasion, not rising in terms of intensity to the occasion. And to be honest, what you're saying is true about the 50-50, but it doesn't pick a side. It's rare determination and hunger to win. And I've seen that in every single final that I've played. Those that I won, those that I lost. And the only one that stands out that was a bit, oh, we did everything we should have won it. The only regret my whole career is the 2013 Aviva Stadium against Toulon when we lost by 1 point and we played so well that whole season and we were ready and we were hungry and pardon my French, we fucked them up for 16 minutes and we really did. But then there's that one extraordinary play where, you know, we get a knock-on advantage, Dylan Hermitage picks it up, they steal the ball, blah, 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 and he wanks at us, whatever. And after that, we don't get one penalty for 20 minutes and we miss two drop goals. That one is the heartbreak. That one is tough and fair play to Toulon who had that experience and that resilience of just never, ever, ever giving up. But if you ask them, I've chatted to them a lot and, you know, Chris Massoi is a good mate and all that. They're like, we should have not won that one. That's the only one where we just sneaked out. And that's the only one that holds like left a massive hole in my heart. All the other ones, we were outplayed, outhearted, we were beaten by passion. 2017 against Saracens, we should have lost by 45 points. But because we're a good side, we actually only lost by 5 points. And because we were dominated from 1 to 80 minutes because they had that determination that was absolutely second to none. And they just, you know, put the gas on full tilt and then it was impossible to go with them. So it's not a matter of are we a good side? Is they wanted and they knew how to want it better than us. In 2015 in same Twickenham against Toulon, we got bullied physically. We got bullied. We were probably a better side in terms of rugby, but rugby is a confrontational sport. So it's all going to be down to that. So I've never bought into the thing of it can go either way. It took me a long time to actually digest it and to admit it. I personally did not step up in enough for what the role of hooker should have been in certain times, because to win a title, you need to go the extra mile. You need to go the extra edge. You need to add the extra 10%, which is unmeasurable. If I play 100% of my ability, it's not enough. But then what's 110%? I don't know. Nobody does. That's the problem. You just don't know what it is. But in those games, the only one where I played perfectly and we lost in 2013, I could have not done anything better than that. But that's just, you know, the gods of rugby, that's how it is. The sport can be a bit ruthless. But the other one, heart will always overcome anything. Because in rugby, when 15 guys want it more than others, you can go through freaking brick walls.
And without dredging up the old emotions or opening up old wounds for you. You won one at the end of your career, the Challenge Cup final, you lost some. So you're the best placed person on the planet probably to discuss the differences in emotions of European finals. So just give us that contrast of what it's like when the final whistle goes. Obviously you feel like you've put everything in and you lose. And then the contrast at the end of your career, you feel like you've put everything in and you finally got that trophy.
It was, I'm not going to lie to you, it was really, really tough. Like I went through some pretty dark moments within the world of sport and playing finals. So if that's a dark moment, you know, put it back into perspective. But for the symbolic, 2005, we play Stade Français against Toulouse. We lose it overtime, right? But I'm 21. I'm 20, actually. So I was sad, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I was still like blown away by being there. and I come up after a 50th minute and we go to overtime. So in the end, I played 50 minutes. So I was drenched and stuff. That's Murrayfield in the visitor stadium. 4 years later, I go again with Leicester Tigers and we lose to Leinster, their first title with Johnny Sexton, who's only 21. We're like, who's that? Who's that guy? We're gonna blow him up. And we didn't. and he did really well. And I sat down, same cubicle, same changing room, same stadium as 4 hours before, 4 years before. And I was, holy shit, I don't want, no, please not again. Then we go 2013, the Dublin Aviva, the one that I told you. And then 2015 is Twickenham. And 2017, against Saracens, same changing room, same stadium, same place. That one really hit me in the nuts. But I mean, I was broken. I was broken after that one. Because I was thinking, you know, whatever I do is just not enough and this and that. But again, my mindset was to think about me. And that was the wrong mindset. Think about the team. Think about, you know, the collective that God is there. It's not just about me. I'm not allowed to be more sad than the 20-year-old than Damien Penaud, who didn't have care in the world after that, you know, 2017 loss against Saracens. Because it's a team thing. It's not about me. It's about the club. It's about the team. It's about the whole thing. And if I don't win it, then that's irrelevant. It's more that the club didn't get the reward that it wanted, right? But there's an element of European rugby, which is the reason why I love it so much, is that with top 14, you can concentrate on only the fire, only the fight, only the heart, right? Let's go and smash them. And heart will always prevail. That's what I feel. You know, cast against Toulon in, I can't remember the year, 2013 or something like that. And it was pure heart, pure determination, pure will to desire, you know, to beat whoever's in front. Because clearly to Toulon side in front, 1-1, 1-15 had better players. But they wanted it more. They won it. Same against Montpellier then a couple of years later. Montpellier were on fire, but they wanted it more. They won, right? I know that in European rugby, in Champions Cup, it's just not enough. You need the heart and the desire, like I said to you earlier. You need to want it more. But on top of that, you need to top it up with some super skills, some super strategy, some actual high tempo, positive, almost international rugby level. And that's what makes it so complicated. You need to have the heart, the fire and the brain at the same time. So that's what makes it so frustrating and so complex to deal with. And then, you know, dealing with the ref at the right time for the right reason and this and that. So unfortunately, I can't tell you what it feels like to win the Champions Cup, but it would have been actually probably more of a relief than happiness, to be honest. But it would have been absolutely precious. But when you lose it, you realize how complicated it is. I was actually I almost wanted to applaud Toulon for when they won it 3 times in a row. I wanted to applaud Saracens for winning it consecutively because I know how hard it is, that thing. It takes a long time to get there. It takes a long time to win it once. So to win it back-to-back is just next level. And then the Challenge Cup is just a different, completely different thing. We were by a mile the best team of that competition. So it was like, from the get-go, we were like, we're going to take this seriously. We want to win every single game. And we did. And we did well. And we had a big laugh and a big smile on our faces. But it was a matter of, listen, this is our cup. It's got our name on it. Whoever wants to get close to it, just bite his fingers off. That was our attitude for that whole season, and we delivered, and it was beautiful. To be honest, it was beautiful. When you work hard for something and you get the reward collectively, it is beautiful.
And turning our attention to this year's finals then, you mentioned the difference there between a top 14 final where heart comes into it more and a European final. The fact that we've got two top 14 teams in the Champions Cup final, will that make it more like a top 14 final?
The ref, mate, the ref is the key man in all this. It's going to be the absolute differentiator. So I think the Challenge Cup is Andrew Brace, right? I think it's the guy, and then the Champions Cup is the English guy. What's his name?
Luke Pearce.
Who's very sharp.
He's good.
Who's very sharp, who's very international rugby orientated and stuff. So that's exactly what I mean by it. They're gonna have to bring the fire and stuff, but they're gonna have to have the brains to adapt to international rugby type of refereeing. And that's going to be the key element in this. If you overcommit and overlet, you know, your heart show too much emotion, he will ping you because there's too many opportunities on a rugby field. Small little shots to the head, ruck area, tackle area, scrummaging area, driving mauls, all those very high tempo physicality confrontational moments. He will be super analytical about it. Whereas in top 14, you know, they could look at it and be like, yeah, it's a final. Of course, they're full on. Of course, they might be a little bit over the top, you know, but it's a final. So you sort of understand the whole thing. There, he's going to be, you know, with a microscope looking at everything. But that's international rugby. So you're right to to say that it's going to be a bit random. It's actually really interesting to see potentially those two teams could face in top 14 final, right? It would actually make sense. They're top and second. Yep. And it would be beautiful to see the difference of the two finals, because I'm telling you, it's not the same sport. It's not.
People have said two French teams in the final, should we not have a French referee? Do you go along with that or not?
No, not at all. European rugby is, the whole idea is that it's the step up before international rugby. Yes, I understand. If there's two French sides facing each other, okay.
Just the language thing and the way that the style of refereeing, they'll be used to it more. That's what some people would say.
Is that a good thing? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. No. In depth, let the international refs ref with European rugby with that same consistency that the international rugby demands. That's what makes the French game, for me personally, take a whole different dimension. Because we are one of the rare countries that can have the heart and the brains. It took us a long time to get there, don't get me wrong. But people love a bit of that emotion. They love a bit of that craziness. But before, we couldn't back it with some proper brains. We only had the heart. And now they've got both. And Toulouse can do both. And La Rochelle have shown that they can do both. That's what makes us incredible. So no, definitely keep the foreign refs in there.
And you mentioned it earlier, Benji. No Julien Marchand. So clearly that's a big blow to you. How big a blow is it to Toulouse?
Yeah, it's a big blow. To be honest, I sent him a long message, because a long voice note, because I really felt for him. He's, don't forget, you know, in 2019 from my last game, he broke his ACL.
Yeah.
I was there for France, Ireland, his first cap. I think it's his second cap, maybe. He came off the bench the week before and he broke his ACL at the 79th minute of the game, which means the whistle is blown, everybody's off the field, and he's on his own in the middle of the pitch. It was heartbreaking. And I was there next to, so I told you, I'm really friendly with his family and stuff. Basically, his cousin is my business partner in France. And so that's one father, and the brother, that's Julien Marchand's dad. And so his, you know, my mate's uncle was next to us. And it was his first or second, I think it might have been his first cap or whatever. And he was delighted to see his son and stuff. All he could see was the incident. And he didn't have a smile. He was just looking at it, petrified, or being like, he's seriously hurt. You know, when you see, you know, when you have the people come in and like test the knee and it doesn't look good and they start waving, come and get him, come and get him. You know, it stinks, right? And so everybody was happy after the game and this and that. I can't remember if they won or lost or whatever. And he was miserable. And Julien was crying in the middle of the field because he just broke his ACL for, you know, cap number two. Then 2019, well, that same year, sorry, but he doesn't go to the top 14 final. He lifts it with Jérôme Kano, but he's not playing. So he's the captain, he's the leader. So it's the second major final of his team that he's going to lose, right? So I just send him a long message saying, listen, I actually feel for you. It's just the harshness bit of professional sport. Sometimes, you know, bigger things come in hand, and that his way to actually make, he knows and he knew that already because he's a good leader, that his way of reacting to this can have such an impact on his team and the way that they perform next week. If he embraces this thing, if he, you know, lift his chin up, show that it's bigger than us, I can easily imagine him then saying, but boys, do you think it's about us? It's about putting Toulouse back to where it should be. It's about adding that fifth star. It's about, you know, challenging, you know, what I said to you earlier, for Antoine Dupont to be the best player in the world is one thing. For Antoine Dupont to be the best nine that Toulouse has ever seen in their history, that's different. You need to win some titles. You need to bring, you know, put the silverware cupboard back open and fill it up. And so that was his thing. But I felt for him, and just even in the shits, try to find some positive out of some negative. You know, build yourself stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's all that bullshit psychology, but which is true though. There's always something that he can learn from this experience, and there's some strength that he's going to use later on. He can't see it right now because it's too hard, but he'll see it later on. And so we had this good chat and stuff. And then he just mentioned that he was gutted because they apparently prepared the interview with the citing commissioner really, really well, with a letter from Romain Buros, the fullback for Bordeaux, saying that he wasn't hurt, it was nothing. Apparently they had a physician who sort of looked at the body mechanics and whatever, who was proving by A plus B that the impact, he could almost measure just with images, the impact, how do you say that, power, the you measure the impact, which was hardly anything. And apparently the side commissioner, whatever, just said, oh, all this is irrelevant, we can't take into consideration because X, Y, and Z, because it's never been done before. And so they just went to, you know, forget about all the arguments you just gave us, irrelevant. And he asked the jury then to forget, you know, that's how it goes, right? Don't even take in consideration the evidence that was given to you, and go judge. So he just felt there was a proper kid kicking the nuts of not he wasn't even allowed to defend himself.
Well, the interesting bit that you picked up, it's just the leadership aspect. So we've all played with players where it is about them and they go and sulk and they go into a corner, the way he carries himself, how that can impact the rest of his teammates to carry themselves through to win another trophy. Absolutely. And no qualms or no question that's how he'll carry, especially after speaking with you. He'll know you've been there, you've done it, and he will have that impact on his team. He'll be going around having little words in people's ears, motivating them. Let's do this for each other. Let's do this for our club. Let's do this for our town. It's huge.
And he's far from the only guy missing for Toulouse. They've had injuries in recent months. They're building up and building up, especially in the backs. Friend of the show, Zach Holmes, looks like he's the latest to be ruled out. So what are we going to see from Toulouse in the backs? Are we going to see Roman Entomac shifted to centre with Thomas Ramos starting at fly half? We're going to see Juan Cruz Malia starting in the centres, who hasn't been at Toulouse very long. I mean, it's kind of makeshift, isn't it?
That's a good point. I don't know, mate. Johan Nuguet is out, but they've got Mathis Lebel. I think they might. It's gonna be a very, very complicated one. I think you know that Chilizin Kobe, Max Medard, and Mathis Lebel are gonna be the backfield. Zach Holmes, let's face it, was already replacing Sofiane Guitoun
at 13.
So when you have another one missing out, it could be an option to put Thomas Ramos. Basically, the idea would be like put, you know, whoever they are, put your best players on the field, and they'll sort it. You could have Thomas Ramos play with Romain Tamac. That's a really tough one.
For me, it's just whoever fills that 13 jersey. So you're going to have Dupont and Tamac, your 9-10 access, surely.
You don't think they'd move Entomac?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're such key players. They've been so good. They've led so well throughout the duration, the entirety of the year, both for France and for Toulouse. I don't think you mess with that now in a final. Peter Aki, you got to think, is going to play at 12 because he's been outstanding. Every time he takes the field, he's world class, let's face it. It's who fills that 13 jersey, who comes in. And then it's, do you stick Mali in at 13 in a cup final, or do you shift somebody that you can maybe, and again, you have to understand 13 is the hardest position to defend in on the field. So it might be a case of security. Who can we get in? And Zach's done a tremendous job over the past couple of months of bolstering that 13 jersey defensively as well, which is not easy. Who can we trust in our team to fill in that 13 jersey? And that's the question that Ugo Mola is going to have to answer with Poitrineau Thursday, Friday when he names the side.
And they've picked Cheslin Colby at 10 a few times this season. We're not going to see that, are we?
I don't think so. Not in finals rugby.
And whoever's there, I mean, they're still good players, but is that an area that La Rochelle will be looking at thinking maybe this is an area we can target?
Where, 10, 12, 13?
That 13 channel, because that 13 channel is, as you say, the most difficult position to defend on the pitch. It's one of the most pivotal positions in terms of your defensive system. If they've got someone who doesn't normally play there, is that an area, if you're Ronan O'Gara and Jono Gibbs, you're looking at that thinking, this is something we've got to target?
It's about testing their defensive combination. That's a good point, because you need 12 and 13 need to know who's going to do what and how. So it's not about the one-on-one tacklings, but the general sort of defensive strategy. So that's a good point. But I don't see La Rochelle playing an overcomplicated game. I see them actually trying to impose and suffocate them and deny to lose their strengths from the start. And that's how they're going to go. There's going to be a massive kicking game around there. Mathis Lebel is going to drown under high balls because he's going to put under a lot of pressure. But it's true. It makes a good argument that it's the lack of experience of a combination will obviously have some gaps at some point, and you just need one opportunity, you know, for a window to open up and for them to go behind the line. So knowing how Ronan O'Gara loves to plan a strategy behind it and stuff, it could be an option.
And contrasting warm-ups for both of them. La Rochelle, massive win, thrashing Agen. And they didn't rest too many, a few, but not too many. And Toulouse, losing to Bayonne, Johnny, but they rested a lot more, didn't they?
They did. I'm still not sure if it's the right thing to do. Well, that was a huge boost for Bayonne to come up against Toulouse, where normally you'd expect to lose and probably Toulouse to take 5 points from that game. But they came up against an academy side. You had Joe Tacori was playing, a couple of older heads, but really that's a massive win for Bayonne. That effectively, I think, keeps them in the top 14. But again, in terms of prep for Toulouse, that's effectively now 3 weeks that they haven't played together. I'm not sure, Benji, again, you can talk from a previous experience about going into finals undercooked, or do you think that's going to have a big effect? Like, effectively, they haven't played. You saw Dupont there he was watching the stand like through his fingers, obviously desperate to be on the pitch, but Do you think the fact that they haven't played at any rugby effectively at all for 3 weeks, and then you've got that question of 13, do you think that kind of leads in a little bit unfavorably to the final?
It's always a complicated strategy. I've been in both sides where you have coaches that never wanted, that would rest everyone. You would play the quarters, then you would not touch a ball of rugby until the semi, and then again the same thing. And I had Vern Cotter, who always, at the end of Six Nations, whenever you were absolutely trashed after international rugby, would always put his starting side just before the quarters. And to be fair, it did us a favor, but I would love to be fresh before a game. It just depends, you know, as long as everybody believes in that strategy of what Hugo Mola wants to put together, they're going to do the most of it and stay fresh and focus and keep all that energy for later. But they just simply, with the depth of squad that they have, especially in the backs, they couldn't afford to take any risks. So I think it was the right strategy to do.
And you mentioned Ronan O'Gara and the tactics that La Rochelle might employ. Where is the game going to be won and lost, do you think? If you had to put money on it, do either side have the edge in the coaching battle? Where is it? I mean, because physically you look at them and you think they match up quite evenly. Like La Rochelle normally try and dominate up front, but surely not against Toulouse. In the backs, we've mentioned the injuries Toulouse have. Where's it going to be won and lost?
I think they're both really, well, they're both extremely settled. That's the thing. They're both really well-run teams, extremely well-organized, physical. They defend well. I'm almost thinking if Ronan O'Gara, if he's watched that Bordeaux game, he might look for inspiration in the way they kicked and just say, look, let's just kick deep. Let's not play anything in our half. Kick deep, force Toulouse to be stupid and run everything out. But effectively, whoever controls ball, there's going to be marginal victories at scrum time. Like we'll see little things go either way, which gives away field position. But whoever can control field position and retain possession, that's the thing. We've watched La Rochelle as well. It's so hard to get the ball back from them. They're so well organized. You think whoever comes off better in a couple of key decisions with referees coming into it, it's going to be tight. Like, I don't know, Benji, if you see any different, but in terms of coaching, I don't see much difference in the way they approach the game. Toulouse maybe a bit more flair, maybe a bit more offloading, maybe a bit looser, but they've shown that they've got the X factor and the quality to back it up. In that game against Bordeaux, they were just exceptional. So but I think you've got two teams that are phenomenal. O'Gara keeps talking about this, keep the ball longer. His mantra is like, keep the ball, squeeze the opposition, tire them out. And then that's where you see these defensive frailties. When they get teams to an edge into that 13 channel, they're converting everything because they've got such good quality out wide. So look, extremely hard to call, but I think it's going to come down to some seriously small decisions. Refereeing things might come into it. Again, cards might come into it. Who's off the pitch and who can get points on the board at key times. But in terms of coaching, not much between them at all. Both really well-run teams.
Funnily enough, the experience of Ronan O'Gara, John O'Gibbs is absolutely second to none in Champions Cup. And I do feel it's going to have a slight edge on Hugo Mola. But Hugo Mola is a very good coach who knows how to maneuver the talent that he's gotten to lose better than anybody else. And he's done it he's built this team, right, for the last couple of years, taking some ballsy decisions. You said about putting Tuma Ramos at 10. That's what he did in the final against us in 2019. Romain Tamak is on the bench. He sticks to those things, you know, and I was thinking, he's crazy. This is good for us and stuff. But he really does deliver at a certain moment. So because he knows them better than anybody else, right? He's only the coach that sees them every day. But I do think, his ability to maneuver them and his ability to put them in a position where they can actually just show off and showcase their God-given talent. You don't need to put a strategy in place for Chelsea and Colby to sidestep a guy. You don't need to put a strategy for, you know, Famuina to bump off a guy and then flick it off the back with Cyril Baye and all that. You don't need to create something for Antoine Dupont to go, because there's so much threat everywhere that you sort of need to get them to the position where they can express themselves the best, right? Whereas I do feel that for La Rochelle, they're extraordinary at the moment, but they need that structure and that strategy from the coaches. So that's where La Rochelle might have just a slight different edge, because they will know, I know those two coaches will prepare the hell out of that game. If there's a tiny little bit of weakness, they will find it and they will prepare something special, a special move, a special play, a special something, just to try to adapt to this thing. So I don't think it will be won by the coaches, but it's really interesting to see in terms of management what different styles can bring. The difference between two teams is still very small. I just have a feeling that there's a tiny bit more creativity, explosiveness in the Toulouse side. That's when they're hot, they just make them absolutely unstoppable. But a final is always a moment where there's something that you haven't planned that happens. And it'll be interesting to see how both teams win it, address it. So I really do think that La Rochelle will be very conscious that they need to go hard out, but they need to create something special. Whereas Toulouse will be able to know that they can have the confidence that as long as they're in the game, some sort of magic will happen at some point, which might get them over the line.
So come on then, you guys have got a pretty good record when it comes to predictions, and I need to know where to put my money this weekend. So put your reputations on the line. What's the score going to be?
Very, very tight margins. I'll say after extra time. After extra time, 19-16 for Toulouse.
I honestly have no idea. This is why I asked earlier about the 50-50s, because I think like it's one bit of X factor from Cheslin Colby, they win the game. But one nice piece of creative organization from Rowan O'Gara and Jonah Gibbs, and La Rochelle win the game. And then you compare the way through, like Arnold Brothers going up against Sazi and Gordon Liner. There's nothing to pick between them. Scrum time, all awesome. And then we talk about X-Factor. You've got Dupont, Colby can do anything. You've got Doulin, Roule, Botia, West, other side. Do you know what? Because they're friends of the show and we haven't had anyone from La Rochelle, I'm also going to go Toulouse. but that's what's swaying it for me. Honestly, this minute, I can't pick between them. Two completely different ways of winning a game, ultimately. But I just think maybe it's Toulouse's time. We talked about those guys like Dupont and Tamac. There was also an interesting article that Rory Cockett wrote during the week about everyone talking about Dupont being world-class. And he's saying you can't talk about somebody being world-class unless they've won the biggest trophies, unless they've won the Champions Cup or they've won a World Cup. And I just think maybe it's their time, that young French generation that's coming through. And so possibly they'll nick it this weekend and maybe earn a little bit more recognition for the players that they're becoming.
And briefly on the Challenge Cup final then as well, are we going to see French teams win both the Champions and Challenge Cup finals in the same season for the first time since 1997? Or are your old team, Benji Leicester, going to ruin that stat?
It's a possibility. I do see that Montpellier, they're taking this very, very seriously, right? It's a way for them to save the season. They've completely shifted mindsets. They've pretty much got the relegation out of their window in the last 10 days so they can fully concentrate on this thing. Remember I said to you that Philippe Saint-André was really scared about those three games in eight days, and they absolutely delivered. So they got what they needed and they can fully focus on it. André Pollard is back. There's still going to be Kobius Reinach probably on the bench with him. There's still going to be all that talent ready to properly, you know, show how good they can be at full tilt. I'm really happy what's happening at Leicester at the moment. I just see them completely shifting dimension, creating something of their own. They're not, don't get me wrong, both teams would get seriously pumped by either Toulouse or La Rochelle, but they're really creating something of their own. They're really on the rise of saying, it's pretty similar paths of saying, this is our first proper step to redemption, to shine again, you know, to putting the club where it should be. And I was part of Leicester at a time where winning was normality. It was expected of you. And the final is not an achievement. The final is good. Yeah, great. What we want is silverware. And so I think they're winning that mentality now. And so all I hear is good stuff from Steve Borthwick's coaching methodology and the fact that he's putting culture back into it and the boys are buying into it. And I think they're delivering. So really interesting final, actually. I'm really happy to be there. And again, a very, very tight margin. But Montpellier, when they're on full tilt, they can be pretty lethal. So I would still see them just ahead, probably.
I think I'd agree. I think if you'd asked 3-4 weeks ago, we probably thought the Montpellier weren't even going to be able to field a full string. But the fact that they can go full noise and actually get all of their big dogs on the pitch, coupled with the fact that they went on that run 7 unbeaten, they've got nothing to lose. And look, both of them going through a sort of a rebuild phase, if you like, they're not the most attractive teams to watch in terms of attack going forward with what they do with the ball, but they both defend bloody well, like big men, physical, abrasive. And I just think in that area, like Leicester are turning a corner as well, but in terms of the depth and what Montpellier are going to have on the bench in a final, I think they'll have too much for Leicester. So yeah, Tim, I would say both sides this year for the first time to be won by French sides. I just think even though they don't play the most attractive stuff, they've just got too much firepower. And that confidence is key. We talked about heart and guts earlier, Benji. It'll be exactly that. Montpellier have been in this situation before. They beat Harlequins, I think it was, last time they were in this in the Challenge Cup final, and I think they can do it again.
Interesting. So both picking Montpellier then?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Feel a bit ashamed to say, because I would be delighted for for Leicester to win it again.
In either way, a fantastic weekend of European rugby ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And fans back, as you said, Benji, really important, fans back. And you'll be there, Benji.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing commentary for French TV on Friday, and I'm doing pitch side for BT on Saturday. So really, really chuffed. I'll be able to watch both games. I'll be just as a symbolic, I will, you know, chop a nice pint before for the nerves and a couple after for the happiness. It's just those simple things, you know, we always take for granted, but it's going to be beautiful now. I can't wait.
Excellent. See you at Twickenham, Benji. Big thanks to you and to Johnny and for all of you guys for listening as well. Make sure you hit subscribe, leave us a nice review if you can too, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
Au revoir.
See you, boys. Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.